Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
It's great to have you here this morning. Thank you for being here on what is a significant day, our Heart for the House Giving Day. We've been leading up to this day for several months now, and I guess in effect, not that we had planned it this particular way, but since the start of the year in Jan and Feb, when we started to speak out, as I mentioned earlier, around out of Matthew 19, that believing for something of a miraculous nature to transpire this year, which it certainly has. And so, you know, God has done so much for us, you know, over the last probably 8 or 9 weeks since we found or were led to the space that we can now call our new home. And as you saw there, it needs to be transformed, which is exciting. So, you know, God has certainly come through from His end and done what only He can do. And He is still at work in the process, which is great. But there is that opportunity for us to do what we can do today. And we'll be leading to that in a few minutes. Just a couple of things. We'd love to certainly, and I'm not sure if any of the Hildyard family are here or the Goggle family are here, but just wanted to pass on our heartfelt condolences and thoughts and prayers for the loss of a very dear and close family friend last week. Unfortunately, a tragic loss of life in a very close family friend. And so we just love, as a church family, to pass on our sympathies, prayers and condolences, and certainly to let them know. And if I could just ask that we all be praying for them as an extended family, but also the family that's been affected through the loss of a wife and mum. So it's very, very sad. So our condolences there. And I guess that's one extreme. The other extreme, I guess, in life is when you have the arrival of life, and that is that, if you don't know, Bianca Jeremy invited baby boy number 4 into the world during the week. So little Levi Charles McKinnon is now with us. Well, not here today, but Bianca was sending me emails the next day about the birthday, and I'm going, would you just relax, man? Just seriously. So if we can be continuing to hold them in our prayers as well. And just got a message just before, they're just really upset they can't be here this morning for today's service. I'm like, Bianca, just chill, seriously. But mum and baby are very well, and they just wanted to pass on the good news to us as a church family, and have appreciated all the well wishes and prayers that they've received. So we are still in need of a few volunteers for next week. There are a couple of roles. Thank you to all those that have actually put their hands up to be part of various aspects of our church birthday celebration. If you still are able to participate, whether it's for a part of or the whole time, could you please let the office know tomorrow, as soon as possible, that you make yourself available, and we'll let you know. If you actually email info@compasschurch.com.au would be the best way. Just thinking about it, one of the team will be in on Tuesday. So you can email tomorrow or call on Tuesday would be great. And just keep in mind too that after our service this morning, if you're able to hang around as part of our celebration for our Heart for the House Day, we're just going to have a light lunch afterwards, and we'd love for you just to hang around and join us in that. That would be, well, very, very cool. Well, let's get into this, because today I just wanted to quickly kind of recap, but just felt there's just a couple of stories that have come to mind in prayerfully considering what to speak about this morning. If you're visiting with us, we have been doing a series out of Exodus and tracking the journey of Moses as he leads the people out of captivity, out of Egypt, into the wilderness experience, and into the fulfillment of the promise of a land flowing with milk and honey, and just a lot of the miraculous provision that God provided for the children of Israel. We've taken great encouragement from and great challenge from, because so often the children of Israel would quickly forget what God had done. And I think very much human nature that we find ourselves doing that regularly. And this morning, I just want to really just bring home really, really strongly that God is so faithful. God is so faithful. If you're facing a tough time right now, please just take a moment to reflect on how God has come through for you in the past. And I can guarantee you, you're not going to be the first person in the history of humanity that God will let down. It may not feel like that right now, and I get that. We've all been in situations like that, but the thing is that God will not let you down. We don't necessarily like God's timing, but the reality is He comes through. So So keep holding on to that. And so this morning, there is so much. I don't have time to go through even just the last 9 weeks of what God has done on behalf of us, His church, that we can just be thankful for. An astounding amount of stuff that just should not have, in the natural, physical, commercial world, happened, transpired, conversations, meetings, people, that God has lined up for us. And this process started more than 20 years ago with relationship connections and what God has done that has culminated to us being where we are. Can you imagine if God has done all of that in a matter of 9 weeks, what He can do with the next 90 years in our lives in Compass Church if we're still around in 90 years? For some of us maybe not, because there's better places for us to go. I put myself in that boat, mate, don't worry. Respect your elders. Look, last week we just quickly, I touched on, we got to the chapters 25 through to 36, and I'll read out of Exodus 25, and the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me, each man whose heart prompts him to give. These are the offerings you are to receive from them: gold, silver and bronze, blue, purple, scarlet yarn, fine linen, goat hair, ram skins, dyed red and hides of sea cows, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, fragrant incense, onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastpiece. Then have them make a sanctuary for me and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you." And then the next sort of nine chapters describe the pattern that God wants it actually and how it was to be done. Very specific in His pattern and plan. I love that idea that God has a plan. God has a plan for your life. Sometimes we try to choose our own way, but it's a reminder we should just try to stay true to God's plan, because God's way works. See, out of this, we drew three important principles out of this passage when it comes to the idea of giving. The first is in verse 2, that giving must be voluntary. Giving to God must be voluntary, not forced. In 2 Corinthians 9, we're reminded of that, where God loves a cheerful giver, not to give out of obligation or compulsion, but to give out of a willing heart, a heart that has actually sought God, to say, "God, what is it that you want me to give? And I do that joyfully." So when it comes time to giving at the end of today, it's going to be a joyful occasion. And if you're not actually happy about it, turn the smile upside down. And no, turn the frown the other way around. Is anyone listening? I just wanted to make sure you're listening. Not really. But you want to turn that frown upside down and turn it into a smile today. And so it's about us actually coming and to actually give in a voluntary, willing way. And I love that idea that the love of Christ should compel us to good works. The love of Christ, what God has done for me and what He's done, as I was reflecting this morning, to be honest, I was actually in tears this morning, and Nat came over and rubbed me on the back and said, "Oh, you big softy," you know, like, she goes, "You okay?" I said, "Oh, not really. I'm really nervous and I'm really excited, because I know there are people here today that are giving, and giving sacrificially, and it's not about the amount. People will come and give sacrificially. I don't take that lightly as a pastor. And yet what I began to see for people, and Lou Ranieri was one of them, I don't think she's here this morning, but like, I just, and there's people in that situation that are coming, that are in situations where family members are not Christians yet. We've got brothers, sisters, we've got friends that aren't Christians yet, and we are giving not just for the now, but we're giving for the future, for those people in our families and our lives that God has put around us, that they will come into the place where they encounter the presence of God in an undeniable way, where they just cannot but open their heart and life to the love and grace of Jesus Christ. And so I was just moved this morning about just that whole responsibility and privilege that it is to give. And so when I give today, I'm excited. And I'm giving because I'm just going, you know what, God, you've prompted Nat and I and our family to give in this way. And we want to just come and give joyfully and out of a heart of thanks and praise for all that you have done, all that you're doing now. But our faith is going, God, you're not finished with us yet. You're not done with the people in Compass Church yet. You're not done with this community yet. There is so much more that you want us to do. And we see this emphasized when it comes to the time of actual giving in chapter 35, that people, it's mentioned five times, that those who were willing, those whose hearts were moved, and the rabbis pull that apart a little bit more, and they say there's quite a distinct difference between those whose spirits were willing and those whose hearts were moved. It implies that those who were willing gave what was maybe expected, but those whose hearts were moved gave over and above that because they had this revelation of God's love and goodness and faithfulness in their lives, and they're going, you know what, God, I just want to give over and above. There's just this spirit of generosity that comes into play and gets activated when our hearts are moved. And that's why I've encouraged you over the last few months just to be seeking God. God, what is it? To present your heart before God. Because it's not about the amount. God's not worried about how much is given today. In fact, I'm not worried about what's given today, because no matter how little or how much is given, God's going to make that amount work to get the job done. So you'd like, oh, I wonder if Pastor Phil has a figure in mind or anything like that. Yeah, I've got a faith goal. But like what I'm saying, it's not about the amount. It's about our hearts as we come today and give. That's what God is looking at and he's looking for. It's always great when your iPad shuts down for no reason. So I just see, you know, this opportunity about giving voluntarily, and our spirits are willing and our hearts are moved to give. And today is about heart giving. It's not about our normal tithes and offerings. Today is a big step of faith for all of us. And this morning, you know, that's kind of exciting. You know, the first time ever we've done anything like this. And we've got no idea whether we've done this right or not, if there's a right way to lead up to a special giving day. We've just done what God has prompted us to do. Now, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21 gives us a wonderful reminder about the differences between earthly and heavenly rewards. There are things that we can store up on earth, and the moth and rust will come, but there are also an investment into kingdom, heavenly programs and objectives and things that we can sow into from a kingdom mindset that actually have eternal consequences. And today what we're sowing into has physical temporal impact, but far more importantly than that, it has eternal consequences. Today I'm declaring, along with my family, that money will not tell us what to do. We're not going to be controlled to or dictated to by money, but I'm declaring that God has my heart. He has my life, he has my health, he has my family, he has my business that I do. He has my time, he has my dreams, my ambitions, my desires, my finances. So this morning I make a declaration by faith that I'm telling money what it's going to do. Money's not dictating and determining what I will do. I'm declaring this morning by faith what money will do and what it will then mean for my family business as I trust God in this big way. So I choose today, because my spirit is willing and my heart's been stirred and moved, to give in a way like never before. And I'm excited for those of us who call Compass Church our spiritual home, that this is such a weird and a unique opportunity that is presenting itself to us. We've never stepped out in faith like this before in this area for Compass Church as Compass Church. It's always been outward expressions of the generosity that we have actually given, that we've given all that away. So yet today there is something different that's happening that's never happened before. And like we talked about the worship time, there is going to be a breakthrough in the life of our church that if you're open to that and participate in that, it's not about the giving, but as we all participate in what we can do, that there will be an overflow, a spilling over into our lives as families in our business. You know, one of the things that hit me hard this week is that, you know, over the next 6 to 12 months, I have no doubt that we're going to hear great testimonies of what God has done. In fact, I've had a couple of testimonies from people who said, Phil, I decided that I was going to give this amount. They didn't tell me the amount. I decided to give this amount in the miracle offering. And do you know what's happened in the last 2 weeks? Somebody's situation, their work stuff, somebody else in a relationship situation, they go, there is no way that should have happened. It exceeded my expectation. So church, God is already at work just with the heart attitude of wanting to sacrificially give in this way. So I'm looking forward to over the next 3, 6, 12 months, just the stories that I ask that you please share with us. We can do that anonymously, but we want to give God all the glory. But the last thing I want for anyone sitting in this room, as you hear these testimonies, is that, oh, shoulda, coulda, I woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda been a champion kind of thing. You know, if only I had done this. No, this is our opportunity. There is God's appointed a divine moment for us as a church to go, you know what? It's kind of freaky. It's scary. It's uncomfortable in a good way. But I have this God sense of faith stirring in me, and there's a courage that will accompany that, that I'm going to step out in a way to step out in this area of finances like I've never had before. And then you can be one of those people that can give the testimony and give the glory to God. So it's got to be that whole kind of thing of actually being a voluntary, willing spirit. And the second thing I love about this that we see out of this in verse 8, chapter 25, God's aim and purpose is to live in the midst of his people. Do you notice in Scripture there's this progression, if you like, of God revealing himself to an individual, and God spoke to an individual and his plan outworked himself through that individual's lives and their families. In this case, we lead to Moses. But here we see a shift, a change in terms of how God wants to come and be amongst the people. We see this move where God says, you know what, Moses, I'm revealing myself to you, and the cloud would come in the tent that Moses had. But then God instructs him, hey, get the people to give an offering to build a tabernacle for me, for my presence. Where was the tabernacle situated? Somebody help me out. Where? Amongst the 12 tribes. Have a guess. In the middle. Good guess. Great guess. In the center. And they stationed the 12 tribes around the tabernacle. God wanted to be at the center of his people, have his presence there right in the middle of everything. And we see that then transpires to the temple being built. That gets demolished. They rebuild it. And there's this kind of like prophecy / expectation that even a greater temple was going to come. And then Jesus arrives, God in flesh arrives, and Jesus is described as being greater than the temple. And then all of a sudden we see there's this, still this expectation there's going to be a greater temple. Guess who the greater, guess what the greater temple is? Us. Because we become the temple of the Holy Spirit when we accept Christ and his spirit into us. His presence is in us. So you sort of see God's not just around us anymore, but he goes, I want to come and be even more intimate than that. I want to be with you more than that. I want to be with you every second of the day. You don't have to come to this location. I go with you wherever you go. That we become carriers of the presence of God. I love that progression. But in this part of the story, we just see God's heart in terms of just wanting to be at the center of his people. The third one is obedience in carrying out God's master plan. Obedience is so important. As we've been emphasizing in this series, obedience leads to blessing. And can I just ask this morning, whatever it is you feel prompted and have sought God about, whatever that is, just be obedient to that. It's not out of compulsion. It's not out of obligation. It's not out of pressure. No one's going to know who gives what. It's not about that. It's about your personal obedience. It's about us as a church have stepped out in faith. God has come through miraculously. And so therefore, that's what we as a board, as far as the leadership of the church, we felt compelled to do. This is the next step of faith that we're called to do. And God's come through for us. Guess what? The next time we're called, it's not going to be a smaller step. I'm just letting you know. That's not how I think God works. He doesn't want us taking smaller steps of faith. Each time should be based on his faithfulness, a bigger step of faith. So no matter where you're at, can I just encourage you? Just be obedient to that. No, it's not about condemnation of like, oh, I wonder if I'm giving as much as this or that. Like, that should not enter our thinking. It should be just a personal decision between us and God. You know, our giving today, it's going to go off on a slight tangent here, just for a few minutes. Our giving today is not the end, but it's just the next step that God has for us as a church. And as you give today and you see God come through in your own personal circumstances, the next time an opportunity comes to give or whatever that may be, you're going to base your decision on God's faithfulness in this set of circumstances. A great opportunity for all of us to take a practical step of faith in our relationship so that in the future we can just go, I'm basing my next decision on God's faithfulness of how he came through last time. So don't wait till the next time before you can actually see God come through. Take this opportunity now. But one of the things that we see throughout this Exodus and Leviticus is God has this incredible way of actually bringing into systems, processes, governance on how the tabernacle would actually work. And the Levites were the priestly family that would do all of the sacrifices and the offerings and different things. The people were to bring stuff, and God instituted a way that the Levites didn't have to go out and work and things like that. They could focus on their priestly duties, and God, through those offerings and sacrifices, allowed them to have certain bits, and that kept their families running so they could focus on what God had called them to do. So God puts a plan in place. And it's like that for us too, that God has put a plan in place on how the operational costs and expenses of the church, lights don't just pay for themselves, staff don't just get paid by some like little money fairy that comes along and drops money in the bank account. I mean, that has all come about because of the generosity and understanding of people who get the principle of tithes and offerings. And so today's offering is significant, but it's the next step, and there will be ongoing operational expenses as we seek to expand and grow and impact our community and this city more. There's going to be increased operational expenses that we will have. And so therefore, it's up to us to kind of like have an understanding of the tithes and the offerings. One of the things that we do in D101 is we take a look at some of our core beliefs, the things that we believe are Bible-based, regardless of time, despite what the world would say, are the things that won't change. Some core beliefs that we believe won't change. One of those is that God has a plan, an airtight plan around our finances and how he can actually pour blessing and cause us to prosper in all that we do in every area of our lives when we actually follow the principle of tithes and offerings. We used to do it on CDs. We've actually just started to redo our D101 course. So for the next minute or so, just want you to be able to have a look at like the new format. If you haven't done D101 yet, this is kind of like there'll be five of these kind of videos that you will get to watch before you go to the class so you can discuss stuff. But this is an example of our new D101 course. Hi guys, welcome back. This is session 4 of D101. We are looking at the topic of tithing and offerings. It's a big one. So let's get straight into this. Do you know what? God has a plan. That is really good news. It's great to know that God has a plan, but he also has an airtight plan. I love that. And we're going to explain more about that today as we look at tithing and offerings. Money, this whole area of money is such a touchy subject, understandably. We need it. We need it to survive, especially in the Western world and culture. There is so much pressure around us. We all have bills. We all have commitments. We all have responsibilities. If you've got kids, if you've got pets, there's insurances, there's registrations, there is food and there is accommodation. We've all got expenses. So money is a part of our lives, whether we like it or not. And so this, when the church talks about finance and money, it can be a real touchy subject. And the good news is that God has a plan, an airtight plan. And the good thing is that we can actually learn about that. And if we implement it, well, I believe that God will take care of all of our needs according to his riches and glory. So this message today aims to equip you in this whole area with a scriptural background to empower you to make an informed decision on how to live out the fullness of life that God has for you in this area of your finances and money. Let me ask you a couple of quick questions. Do you have an issue with money? You know,
there you go. So that's what we'll be facilitating through our D101. That's one of the topics along with our other kind of core beliefs that we hold to here at Compass. So if you haven't done D101 or you have questions around the whole tithes and offerings thing, then encourage you to jump on board the next time D101 is run. So you watch I don't even know what you call that thing, video with PowerPoint, that you watch that and then you come to a group and you get to ask questions and discuss things in a safe environment. So, you know, for me, it's like, the tithe and offering thing is such an important principle for us to wrestle through and get a grip on. It's not about giving God the leftovers. It's not about giving God just, you know, what's convenient. It's like there's a guy named Dr. Elmer Towns, who was one of the founders of Liberty University in the States, and he does a lot of teaching to pastors in seminary and stuff like that. One of the things that he does, he teaches the pastors around tithing and offering and how important that really is, and they need to grasp it. And I love the fact he starts out with Psalm 24, verse 1, where it says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." So it's that clear understanding that The earth is the Lord. So we think we own stuff. We don't. It's God's, and he's kind of got it on loan to us, and we're the stewards, the Bible would say, or managers, if you like, of what we have. So nothing that we have really is our own. It's a gift and it's a blessing from God. And Dr. Towns actually gives this illustration, which I really like, so I'm quoting my source here. But he says, now it's like, you know, talking about managers of somebody who kind of manages a McDonald's store, and they have the responsibility on, you know, to act on behalf of the owners to make sure that it's a profitable store. They deal with all the staff, they deal with, you know, making sure all the systems and processes are in operation so that people have that uniform experience through McDonald's. And of course you get parents that come in. And he goes on to, flows on to another example of around sort of like what it means to that everything is the Lord's and the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. He says, you know, a dad comes into McDonald's and I guess his emphasis is, who owns the fries? That's the illustration. There's a picture that'll come up any second now. Who owns the fries? And he talks about this illustration of going, you know, a dad there with his son sort of buys, you know, the Happy Meal, does the right thing, upsizes it to a large. So there's large fries and a large orange juice, of course, and nuggets. And then, you know, I don't know if anyone can relate to this, but, you know, you're kind of in the car, you've gone through the drive-thru, you've got the upsize Happy Meal for your kid, and then you sort of like, you smell the fries, you like the look of those fries, they've just been cooked, and then you just naturally do that, don't you? And then what happens? You're not having one of those. This has never happened to me, by the way, because I don't relate to this story at all. forgive me, Lord. But it's like, and then you go, what do you mean? They're my fries. And all these thoughts as a parent go through your head. Listen, kid, I brought you into this world. I sure the hell can take you out. It's like, hang on a sec, who bought those fries? Whose hard-earned money actually just bought those fries? And it's like, I don't want all of them, just one. Ain't happening. It's like, you selfish little so-and-so. It's like, maybe I need to either bury you in fries or I need to kind of like stop buying you fries. It's like, well, you want your... And I guess it's that idea around that kind of like, everything is God's. All of what we have, and whether it's our finance, our time, our talents, this temple that he's blessed us with, he calls us to be stewards of that. And I believe scripture says that God is just simply asking, not for all of it, although he has a right to because it's his. This is not all I'm asking is that 10% back to me, and at times as I'm prompted to give offerings over and above that. And so I guess there's these principles that come out of that story, if you like, is that we're called to manage what we have for his glory because it's his anyway. We're called to manage our time, talent, temple, testimony, and treasures, and just to give back a portion of what he's given us. And, you know, I love that idea that God's put this in place so that, you know, the operational, the weekly costs and expenses that we have as a church and ongoing as we grow, is that's one of the things that our tithes and offerings go to. Another thing that it goes to is like our missional work in Malawi. Another thing that it goes towards is supporting Compass Community Care because we have that responsibility. So there are other things that we give to on a regular basis that comes out of. It's not just about meeting the operational expenses. 2 Corinthians 8:7 says, but just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Do I excel in this grace of giving? I excel in my faith. I excel in the pursuit of Christ's likeness. But do I excel in this area of giving? It's a big challenge. And I think the Bible speaks frequently about finance, and it's probably for a number of reasons, like I shared briefly there. It can be used for great harm or it can be used for great good. It's actually a pressure thing. It's a sensitive issue. And we can approach this whole area of finance from one of two perspectives, whether it's human wisdom or the wisdom of God. We can use human wisdom, the natural mind, or we can use the wisdom of God as revealed in his word, and that is that we're called to have faith in what God has called us to do. And so the Bible, I believe, focuses on, emphasizes this whole idea of giving in and by faith, which involves obedience and on believing God for miraculous provision in our lives. Now, I think there's two common perspectives that the natural mind would say. The first one is, Giving, if I give something away, it means I make a loss. Because quite often in our natural minds, we actually see debits and credits and go, okay, well, if I take some out of that one, it means that I'm kind of like I've lost there and it's I'm not going to see it again. And so if I give, it means I'm going to loss. But when you invest in the kingdom of God, this is where it's different. When we invest in the kingdom of God, there's actually a third entry that takes place in the logbooks, in the accounting scheme of things, that don't appear in the natural scheme, but in the spiritual realm, make a deposit. It's a third entry into our credit account with God. And so when we give into the kingdom, it's an investment into the kingdom of God. It's not lost or gone. It's there. And in God's timing, he brings back the return far more than what we could ever get from an earthly sense. And not just in the realm of finance. So the testimonies I'm looking forward to are not just about breakthroughs in finance, but there'll be other breakthroughs in people's lives as we step out in faith. I think the other way that we naturally think about giving is that I can't afford to give, or I'll give when I've got some surplus. You know, people don't kind of necessarily think, well, you know, I can't afford to give that 10% now. When I get more, when I have greater income, then I'll start to give that kind of offering to the Lord. But that's the Bible teaches that when we give in faith, that is trusting God fully with this area of our lives, even when we're in a time of need, his miraculous provision comes through. I've got so many stories for us where it doesn't make sense for us to give, but we trust God in this way, and the way that God comes through just blows our minds. We stand testament to that. And this principle in Scripture where people continue to trust God, even when things are hard, how God comes through for the individuals or for the community or for the people is outstanding. There's many scriptural references, Psalm 112, Proverbs 11 and 22, 3 verse 9 to 10, Luke 6, 38, 2 Corinthians 9, 6, just talks about these reminders of people who remain generous even when they're pressed or in a time of hardship. I love Proverbs 11, 24, 25, although it does challenge me because it says, one man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. If you're not prospering at the moment, I'm not asking for you to answer this question. I'm asking you to think about it. If you're not prospering or seeing a great return on what you're doing, can I ask you, what have you sown in the last 12 months, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years? I'm not saying that if we sow faithfully that everything is just always going to work out Jim Dandy. Again, it's in God's timing. He will come through. That I can assure you. He will come through. But sometimes we think, well, I'm not seeing breakthrough. When I've got surplus, then I'll start to give. No, can I challenge your thinking this morning? If that way hasn't been working, then maybe something needs to change. And why don't you just put God to the test in this area? Because certainly as a church, we've endeavored and we've tried to actually just consistently be generous, even when it hasn't made sense for us as a church. Why would we actually want to give that away when we actually need it here? Because that's what God's called us to do for nearly 10 years. And now we stand testament to the fact that because we were obedient to that over the last 9 years, God has come through in a way right now that we cannot describe and we cannot get our heads around it, because God has just been faithful to who he is. And that's cool. That is really cool. You know what? Just thinking about time here, the last story that I'll just quickly finish off with today, a story that we all know well, is about when Jesus was hanging out with his disciples. He'd just done some incredible miracles. He's tired and he sits down with the boys and then he says he does something, that he looks up and he looks around, he sees a great multitude just waiting for Jesus to do something, just to say some words or just to do some miracles or whatnot. And Jesus is moved with compassion. And I think one of the reasons why we have been pushing this way is because we as a church, we've looked up and we've seen our community needs Jesus. That what we have here is great, but we cannot keep this just to ourselves. If we honestly believe in the love and grace of Jesus Christ and what he's done in our lives, then this whole city, this world needs it. And so this is not where we are to stay. We've got to be able to have facility. We've got to be able to do more with what God has given us. And he's made a way for that to happen. So we've looked up and we've seen, like Jesus did. And you can read this story in John chapter 6. And Jesus kind of like challenges the guys to go, hey, you come up with a plan to feed all these guys. They go, man, 8 months' wages can't feed these 5,000 men plus women and children, 18,000 people. And then they get this little boy who comes and offers, you know, the five loaves and the two fishes. Chatting with Michael about this, and if there's 18,000 people, I wonder how many other people out there maybe had some things that they could have offered up but didn't. And it was just one boy that offered up the little bit that they had. So even if we said 1% of people that were there came somewhat prepared, as some people like to be prepared, and they had some food with them, we only see one little boy offering up what he did. But isn't it amazing what God can do with just one little bit? Let's not be the people that have something to offer but don't offer it. You know, I love this idea that, like, you know, we see Jesus blessing the food, and it says that Jesus actually asked the disciples to come up with a plan, but he had something already in his mind of what he was going to do. So what I take from that for us today is, regardless of what we bring today, God already has a plan of how this is going to sort itself out. It's up to us whether we want to act out of obedience and act out of a step of faith. Us personally, it's not about the amount that we give today. It's about where your heart's at and just going, God, this is scary. I'm nervous about how much. I've never done this before. God, that's what God's interested in, is where are you at? Where's your heart at? Because God's already got a plan. So regardless of what comes in today, a little or as much, I know God is going to get the fit out of that place sorted out for us. That's not a reason for you not to give today, by the way. Just in case you're thinking, oh, well, stuff it. Phil thinks that, stuff him, I'm not giving. No, you need to give. And if you take offense to that, lighten up, seriously. But I just love this idea that God takes 5 plus 2 and it equals 18,000. With leftovers. 12 baskets to go back to villages to feed people maybe who were hungry and couldn't eat. So I know that God can take in the scheme of things. You know, I was sitting there praying this morning saying, God, you know, we're believing for this, for the fit out and stuff like that. And God said, Phil, okay, like, there's a piece in my heart about how we've gone about this. Because as I said, we as a church, we haven't done this before. We've never done an ask of people to give. And so, you know, it's kind of a bit weird. And I feel like there's a piece about that because I believe our hearts are right in this and why we want to do this. And I just felt God saying, okay, Phil, so how are you going to go when I call you to believe for 3 million? How are you going to go, Phil, when I'm calling you to believe for $30 million for a project that's actually going to see thousands upon thousands of people impacted with the love of God? I go, God, I just pray that our hearts are just right in that whole thing. I say, God, can we just get through step one? And I know there's people here with me on that. I'm a man of faith, but I'm just going, I think we've just got to get the first step before we jump ahead. But, you know, God is not done with us yet. Let me just finish by just reading out the verses, and then I am done. Chapter 36, where we actually see the people have come to give. Moses has summoned the people to start work on putting the tabernacle together. Verse 2, then Moses summoned Bezalel and Aholiab and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. They received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. And the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning. So all the skilled workers who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left what they were doing. They came to Moses and said, Moses, the people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done. Then Moses gave an order and they sent this word throughout the camp. No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. And so the people were restrained from bringing more because what they had already had was more than enough to do all the work. You know, I know for a fact, from a people perspective, from a finance perspective, God has already given us here as a community everything that we need to take the next step. Yeah. It's already here. Yeah. It's about us responding to, in our own personal conviction and way, to what God has called us to actually give in this. And so this morning, what we're going to do is just going to have a very simple opportunity to give. We'd love everybody, and I know we've already had people give online during this week, and just going to hand out, because people who want to do an online transfer, we'd love for you to be involved in this time of giving right now as well. So even if you're not sort of like giving anything, whether it's, you know, cash or the credit card option, whatever you choose to do. And can I just please say, hear me on this. I don't believe God is calling us to go into debt to give. So I'm talking about if you're using credit card, can you please do that wisely and within your means? Please, you know, like you may have an amount and that's, but I don't think it's wise for people to go into significant debt in giving. I think that maybe the first step is get the tithing and tithes and offerings operating in your life on a consistent basis. And when you see God come through in that, he'll take care of stuff. So when the time comes for bigger offerings, he will see your faithfulness in the little, he will trust you with more. So please hear my heart on that. I'm not saying don't give, but if you're using credit card, then can you please be wise about how you are giving? So we'd love everyone just to get one of these little flyers. On there you'll see the opportunity to write an amount that you're actually going to give online. There's no need to put your name down. It's totally anonymous in that. It's just that we'd love for those that are actually doing the online giving to be a part of this giving opportunity today. You will see that there is an opportunity to give via credit card on there as well. And so there is that opportunity to do that if you choose to do it that way as well. But just love for everyone to have one of these little slips so you can actually just come up and you know what? And if you're not comfortable in giving or if you're not in a position to give, you know, just fold that piece of paper up. And when you come up this morning, just by faith, say, God, you know, I would love to get into a position and be in a place where next time I can actually give. And so although you're not writing an amount on there today, would love you as part of our family to still be involved in that. There's no judgment. We don't know who's giving what, obviously. But would love for you to be a part of this giving opportunity. Father, this morning we gather together as your people. You are our God and we are your people. You have not forsaken us once. You have not let us down once. When things have appeared tight, when things have appeared to be difficult, you have prompted us as a board, as a church, to step out and to give, even though it didn't make sense over the years gone by. And this morning, Father, we stand just basking in the goodness of your faithfulness, your patience with us. We thank you this morning for the facility that we have now access to. God, you have done so much more for us than what we deserve. And here and now is our opportunity to do just what we can. So, Father, as spirits are willing, as our hearts have been moved, we as a church family this morning, for the first time ever, we want to come and offer this faith-filled giving to you today. That, Lord, we are only giving back to you what is already yours. So, Father, we're not doing you a favor here. Lord God, you're not looking for the dollar amounts, but you're looking at our hearts right now. And I pray, Father, that as people, as we come forward to give this morning, that you would see hearts that are just bursting with thankfulness and gratefulness for all that you have done, for your faithfulness in this time that we're in right now, that we give by faith and in faith today for the future of Compass Church, for your kingdom come, your will be done, and the vision to become reality more and more through this giving we pray today, all for your glory, all for your honor, because it's all about you, Jesus. In your precious name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.